today on Real Radio.
Are you not a Christian today? Look at this verse and then look at the news. Look at this verse and then go to parts of Los Angeles. And you're going to tell me you can't trust the Bible? The Bible anticipated this conduct.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message now called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1. He continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Nothing seems to stop Peter from living out his faith in Jesus Christ, not even his age. Peter is much older now than when he wrote his first letter to the church. Still, he's showing a determination that we can all take a lesson from. To have a resilient, unwavering, and effective kind of faith that can stand up against the godless age in which we live. So far, Peter has taught us to have a faith that's grounded in truth and continues to develop towards maturity. There are false ministries out there who present their own made-up version of Christianity, but Peter's passion for truth warns us to stay vigilant in our battle against deception. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say to look out for those who are out there who speak evil against the truth. Their corruption comes from the choices they make in life. To them, it's a priority to satisfy themselves but mislead others for their own personal benefit. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
More than ever, there are false prophets and false teachers in all kinds of venues today. It doesn't have to be church. Church is certainly the target of Satan. But today, people are being duped by the second, by what they allow into their lives. I sound like a broken record and a dinosaur all in one. Stop reading stuff on the internet. You have no way of knowing if it's true or not. Oh, did you hear? No, I don't want to hear. Oh, did you read? No, I don't want to read. You don't know if it's true. Yeah, but this person said, do you know that person? And people who have no fence, their minds are running wild and running loose because somebody's speaking into their lives, listen, authoritatively. We need to gird up the loins of our minds, says the scripture. But you need to regard, listen, a Christian will regard their body. What do I mean by that? You know that the book of Romans says, this is kind of graphic, but it's true. Book of Romans says you need to possess your members. You say, was that a pastoral verse toward the church? Nope. It means I need to control my private parts. Amen. You, are you a Christian today? If you're a Christian today, you're supposed to control your private parts. Now, this is interesting. As soon as I said private parts, you thought of one thing. Depends if you're a male or female. You thought of a couple things of a female and one thing of a male. And you missed the mark. Because you know where my private parts begin? Right here in the mind, eye gate, right? Hearing gate goes in. What do I allow viewed? What am I listening to? Have you noticed you can listen to praise music all day long and you change the channel and you get some thing from Lady Gaga or Aerosmith or, and it's in your head. Have you noticed that? Why is that? Because our minds are like sponges. And we have to be careful. Very, very careful. What you allow your body to be involved in is a very, very serious thing. Because listen, this is truth, but nobody believes this anymore. According to the Bible, God owns our bodies. He gave us our bodies. We run around, do with them what we want. And God says, that's my body. I gave you, you're using the body I gave you and you're using it for unrighteousness. Stop it. And we'll either choose to repent and submit to God and bow to him, or we'll say, nope, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fulfill the lust of my desires, my passions. It doesn't have to be sexual. It can be anything that departs or causes us to depart from God. Listen, I'll share something with you that just absolutely drives me crazy, and I can't watch this stuff. But do you remember years and years ago, I had to leave the room. Remember years ago, there was a show called The Fear Factor? I couldn't take that show. Now, look, I'm a guy. Blood and guts and bang, bang, shoot 'em up. I love that stuff. I've been blowing stuff up since I was a little kid. Remember, come on, guys. Remember we were kids? Didn't you love blowing stuff up? We used to blow our models up. I'd build model airplanes and put them out in the yard and blow them up. Remember we used to put little mice in the strawberry baskets? Remember the plastic strawberry baskets? They were green. And we would put a mouse in the basket and then tape the strings with thread to a helium balloon and send him to Vegas or wherever he was going. Do you remember that? That was awesome. Did you ever put tape on a snail and put him on your kite and let him fly in the end of your kite? Come on. What's wrong with you? Yes. Yes. But listen, you watch the Fear Factor stuff, and the guy goes, okay, now let's see if you can handle this. And everybody's at the table. Okay, what are we going to eat? We're going to eat a donkey nose. Yeah, see if you can eat it. And what's that? This is a turtle intestines. You ever seen that show? It's sick. You know why I don't like it? Because I think it's defiling the glory of the human body. You're eating stuff that an animal won't even eat. And then there's boxing, you know, some people can. But now that's not enough. You got to get in a cage and kill somebody. You know what? I'm not talking about the skills. It is a human body created in the image of God that's being destroyed. That's the word that these guys do in their, once they leave the screen or the studio or the pulpit, they take their lives and they throw their lives to their passion. If you know anything about people who have been given over to their passions, they live a very violent, and it trends violent in the sin that they pursue. Ted Bundy started out looking at pornography. And then he got into worse pornography. And then Ted Bundy wound up doing what he saw at the last stage of pornography. And he began to kill women. You say, well, that would never happen to me. Don't think that you can bring a flaming log or a stick into your chest and that it not burn you. It will burn you. Your body belongs to God. If you're not a Christian today, your body still belongs to God, but this sermon doesn't apply to you. You're lost. You got bigger problems. But if you're a Christian today, your body belongs to God. And Peter is exposing people who claim to be believers and even leaders, but they live an aberrant lifestyle. Listen to what J. Vernon McGee says. It's golden. They are worse than animals. Having been created in the image of God, they have taken themselves out of the domain of human and have become vicious, vile, and violent. It's the age we're in. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 tells us, Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside and they have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. This is what the Bible says. Their throat is an open tomb. Wow. With their tongues, they have perfected deceit. The poison of asp or poisonous snakes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their path. The word path here means in their wake. When they go, watch, whoever he's talking about, which is, by the way, all of humanity apart from Christ. That's what he means. Wherever they go, left in their wake is destruction. Think about that for a moment. To help you, what's become of Seattle? This verse. What's become of Minneapolis? This verse. What's become of Detroit? This verse. It's exactly what's happening in our world around us. Are you not a Christian today? Look at this verse. And then look at the news. Look at this verse. And then go to parts of Los Angeles. And you're going to tell me you can't trust the Bible? The Bible anticipated this conduct. When a man is given over to his own self being the authority of his life and not God, this is what he does. Verse 17 says, and the way of peace they've not known. Here's the reason. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. I promise you this, none of those people rioting and throwing bricks through buildings and attacking and destroying things. I hesitated a moment because I was talking to a police officer this last week who was involved in one of the riots, and they threw, and I guess this has been going on, they threw lighter fluid on him and tried to light him on fire. So listen, why do I bring that up? This is animalistic. In fact, that's not even fair to animals, is it, to say that? In fact, you know, I love dogs like you love dogs. And I saw somebody's really cool dog the other day, and I said, wouldn't it be great at a time like this if more people were like dogs? You say, yeah, you know, that's a good point. Hey, listen. We're not animals. The animal kingdom doesn't do this. It's proof that we are created in the image of God because we've departed from God. And if someone departs from God, how good can a human be? Really good. How good can a human be? How bad can a human be? Really bad. A cow can be a cow. Little good, little bad, I don't know. A monkey, I hate monkeys, but a monkey can be good and bad. But a human, when they're really, really, really good, they act like God. It's beautiful, compassionate, caring. But when they're really, really bad, they can outdo a demon. And we see our nation running amok because not only did the rioters forget God, let's be honest, our nation has forgotten God. There's no fear of God in us as a nation. Every man's doing what is right in his own eyes, says the Bible. Is that not true? All this stuff going on is absolutely crazy. You don't know what to do now. The confusion, as we talked about last week, the confusion in the atmosphere is rampant. You don't know what, you know, tomorrow, the rules today are this, and they're going to be different tomorrow. Why? Because nobody knows what they're doing. Confused. Secondly, the false teachers, false ministries, look at verses 11 to 12. They are without feeling. They have no feelings. Whereas angels, verse 11, who are greater in power and might, meaning angels are more powerful than us, obviously, they do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. So what does that mean? Just simply this, it's amazing. Man will curse God and other men, and man will curse angels in the spiritual realm. And Peter is making a point that angels don't even do that kind of stuff. Angels never talk bad about people. Isn't that interesting to know? Angels don't do that. They don't talk bad about people. I don't have the verse in front of me, but you'll look it up later. And I mentioned it again a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember when the Bible tells us, it's in the book of Jude, where Michael and Satan are fighting over the body of Moses when he died? It's really weird. But the scripture tells us that Michael didn't say, "I rebuke you, Satan." Have you ever heard somebody tell you? Have you ever seen that on TV? The Bible says never do that. The Bible says the Lord rebuke you, Satan. That's a very powerful thing to remember. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "expressly says that in the latter times," or the last days, "some will depart from the faith." I believe that's happening. "Giving heed to deceiving spirits." Yep. "And doctrines of demons, aberrant teachings." It doesn't have to be trapped in religiosity. Doctrines of demons, anything that leads astray. Think about that for a moment. Doctrines of demons. Is it possible to have deceiving spirits teach doctrines of demons in the halls of power? What about a courtroom? What about a classroom? Is it possible in a small little fellowship of a few people? What about what a parent is teaching their child? Is it biblically based and is it honoring to Christ? Or could it be a doctrine that was spawned by demons? You know what? I absolutely believe, for a lot of reasons, evolution, the theory of it, is a doctrine of demons. I say, how can you say that? Don't you believe in science? That's why I don't believe in evolution. I believe in science. Science and the God that invented science says the exact same thing about everything. Man comes along and he doesn't want to have God in his mind, so he reinterprets the evidence that's in front of him and twists it with a doctrine from a demon to take the glory from God and to turn us around to worship and serve the creation rather than the creator that's blessed forever. Doctrines of demons. What about legislation? What about arguments that we see coming from our halls of power? Listen, Christian, put your ears on. That could be a form of doctrines of demons of what's being said. We don't think like that. We think it's relegated to a really goofy church down the street with some strange architecture and some, you know, weird setup. No. We want to be very careful. I mentioned evolution a moment ago. Listen, this is something I just need to get out. It has nothing to do with the Bible study today. Everybody's talking about the COVID thing, and now they're announcing, here it comes. It's a big one. The big one's coming. The first one was nothing. The real big one's coming. Well, except where's the science? I want to see the science. But here's the deal. What I find fascinating is what we do know about COVID, which is not much, what we do know is that it targets the weak, right? Yes. If you're compromised, you should be careful. As a Christian, we are to be wise about that, and we are to be loving about that, and we're to be on guard about that. Listen, if you're watching or if you're here right now and you're an evolutionist, you have a whole different worldview on this. Let's be honest. And I haven't heard anyone talk about this yet. Can you imagine somebody coming up to the microphone? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm the professor of nincompoopery at the University of... And we all need to know that this is part of the evolutionary experience. Listen to the hypocrisy of this. You know it's not true. This is part of the evolutionary experience. You just need to let it go. It's targeting the weak. It's what evolution does. And have a good day. Is that not the theory? Why would you try to help anybody? Why would you try to be safe? Why would you try to care? Why would you try to comfort? But you're not hearing that anywhere. Why? Because evolution's a lie from the pit of Satan's hell. It's a lie. It draws people away from God. You don't have to go to church to get deceived. You can walk into a classroom. You can read a book. Verse 12 goes on, but these are like brute beasts made to be caught. This is so serious. And destroyed because they speak evil of things that they don't understand. And they utterly perish in their own corruption. This is incredible. Notice what the Bible says here, that they will utterly perish in their own corruption. It's a very graphic presentation to us that what they're spewing will actually come back upon them and be their demise. In fact, didn't Jesus say this in the Gospels? He said, be careful how you judge people, because with what judgment you levy against them, that's the exact same judgment I'm going to levy on you. If you go around, if you're a sin sniffer and a fault finder and everybody, oh, they're this way. Oh, look at that one. I can't talk to them. They're a thus and so and this and that. Oh, look at that one. And oh boy, whew, I know us holy ones over here. And listen, you better be so, so repentant on that. Pointing things out. That's God's business to do. When he does it, yeah, we take action, but we're not the ones to initiate that. But we're watching all these things, this corruption play out in the world around us. This word is powerful because when it says that they're to be like natural brute beasts, this is hard to say. Listen, for those of you who are visiting, we go through the Bible verse by verse. That's how you get the entire word of God. And by the way, that's how Jesus taught. See, because the reason why I say that is because who would have a service? Who would have a church service? Hey, welcome, come on in. We're going to talk about God hunting down the brute beast of men who are given over to their passions, and this is what they're going to inherit. And who wants to hear this? But we have to hear this. The word means this. The word implies that God is the hunter. This is very, very graphic. There are those who are violent, animal-like, godless people who are walking the earth making mischief. Are you with me? Your temptation and mine is to say, why doesn't somebody do something? And somebody should do something. That's why we are, you know, we're supposed to have civility. God loves civility. But beyond that, the evilness of it. How could this happen? What's going on? Just know this. They're not getting away with anything. The Bible here says, you need to tell your friends when you go to work tomorrow. The Bible says God is hunting them down. You see some guy, and this is the extreme. Of course, it doesn't have to be this way. Somebody who beats his wife, God's hunting you down. Somebody who's abusing a child, God is hunting you. Let me tell you, God needs no permit, and he never has to reload. He's holy and righteous, and when evil's being perpetrated, and you think you get away from it, know this, God's hunting you. He's stalking you like a lion in righteousness. And this evil is going on, and this verse tells us, especially in the context of false teachers, God is hunting. You say, I don't know if I like that. It's a fact. People who are perpetrating evil, you can hear God, as it were, loading. And he's about ready to bring judgment. And it's dead serious. The Bible tells us that he's pursuing them, just like a brute beast is hunted down, caught, he says, here, and destroyed. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11. Proverbs 1:11. If they say, come with us, these are bad people, people you're hanging out with. You know, we need to pray about this. This is on my mind. I don't know if it's from God or not, but after we get done with Peter, I was thinking, maybe praying, Lord, should we do Proverbs? Because our world has gone nuts. Maybe we should do Proverbs on a Sunday, but look what he says. If there's people, imagine your kids. One of your kids' friends says, come with us. Let us lie in wait to shed innocent blood. Let's lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. You can turn your TV on and watch that. Watch out for those who say, come, let's go. Come on, let's go have a good time. Let's go have some fun. It's terrifying.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, we could all use a little encouragement now and again. These days, life can come at us from all different directions, but like Peter, no matter what we face, no matter what mistakes we've made, we can still be that kind of person whose only pursuit is the heart of God. There is no true salvation outside of Jesus Christ, but if you're not sure what that really means, well, we're here to help. On our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you'll find the good news of the gospel laid out for you step by step. You'll also find an easy link to let us know if you prayed to receive Christ, or if you've got any further questions, we'd like to know. And if you already know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the information on the Know God tab makes a great witnessing resource to share the love of Christ with others. So head on over to that website, jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab labeled Know God. That's at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.